Krishna. So welcome to our Saturday evening Bhagavad Gita class. We are on chapter 3 of the Bhagavad Gita, and as usual we will begin by chanting all the verses of the Gita together. So I hope all of you have the Bhagavad Gita book with you, the verse book, Krishna. So in the section of this chapter, from text 17 to 29, or even extended up to 32, we see the description by Lord Krishna of a self-realized person who is not obliged to perform prescribed duties, who nevertheless does so just in order to set an example for the rest of the world. So as we have been discussing verse by verse, we have now come to the point where Lord Krishna has concluded that it is necessary for the self-realized souls to work by performing prescribed duties, even though they have no need to do so, simply to set an example for the ignorant masses at large. He cites the example of King Janak. And then in text numbers 22, 23 and 24, Lord Krishna has cited his own example. We saw last time that Lord Krishna mentions that if I, who have no prescribed duty to perform, I who have no need of anything in this world, there is nothing that I cannot obtain in this world, and even I, when I descend into this world, I perform prescribed duties. Therefore, people must learn from example. So Krishna has, by his own example, taught us that even when the Supreme Lord descends into this world, he also, in the society of human beings, performs all those prescribed duties that any civilized human being is meant to perform. We discussed this verse in some detail some time ago. And just a casual point, we discussed who has the need to perform a duty. Who is a person who is obliged to perform a duty? Do you remember? Who is the person who is obliged? To whom does the word prescribed duty apply? When we say someone has to perform a duty, who is that person who needs to perform a prescribed duty? Do you remember from two Saturdays ago or last Saturday? Yes? No, we mentioned philosophically a person who is in need. A needy person. A person who is in need of something, he needs to perform some activity in this world, some prescribed duty. But a person who is full in himself, by virtue of devotion to God, he or she has no prescribed duty. There is nothing left to be achieved. So if this is so with a person who is a human being, a jivatma, a spirit soul who has achieved devotion for Lord Krishna, then what to speak of Lord Krishna? Lord Krishna is Shad Aishwarya Sampanna. He is full and complete in all the six opulences in perfection. Therefore, he has no need of anything. That is one of the definitions of God. God is he who is Atmaram. He is self-sufficient, taking pleasure only within himself. He has no need to depend on anything external to himself for any fulfillment of a need. He is fully capable, samarth, in keeping himself happy. So therefore Lord Krishna really has no need to perform prescribed duties, but yet he descends into this world and does it. And why does he do it? He answers in text 23, because he wishes to set an example for the rest of the world. And he says that if he failed to perform prescribed duties, then mama vartmanu vartante manushya partha sarvashah. If I did not perform prescribed duties, even while living in the human society, then the common man in general, he would also follow in my footsteps. He would also imitate, and he would not perform these duties also. And what would be the outcome of doing this? The outcome of doing this would be very catastrophic. And that is the point we have come to in text 24, I beg your pardon. So let us all chant text 24. Utsi deyur ime loka na kuryam karma chedaham sankarasya chakartasyam upahanyami mahaprajah. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. If I did not perform prescribed duties, that is, this is Lord Krishna speaking, if I did not perform prescribed duties, all these worlds would be put to ruination. I would be the cause of creating unwanted population, and I would thereby destroy the peace of all living beings. Utsi deyuhu, that means everything will be ruined. Ime loka, all these worlds will be completely ruined because of this. Na kuryan karma chetaham, if I did not perform these duties. Sankarasya cha kartasyam, then that would be the cause of generating varna sankara, unwanted population. Upahanyami mahaprajaha, and that would create a very hellish situation. Do any of you remember these words, varna sankara, from our description, from our discussion in the first chapter? What is the meaning of varna sankara? Anyone? Yes, unwanted population in very simple language. Varna sankara, varna refers to Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. Sankara means mixed. So those who have intermarried without regard to any spiritual qualification, etc., without consideration of dharma, without performance of any samskars, then they produce offspring who have no spiritual impressions in their consciousness, no samskars in their consciousness. Therefore, such children are born with a hellish mentality. We have seen Arjuna's fears in the first chapter, Varna Sankara Jayate, Strishu Dushtashu Varshneya. When the woman population gets degraded, then automatically unwanted population comes. When the dharma is destroyed in the society, the women have no protection, they become polluted, and then unwanted population arises, and that creates a hellish situation. Sankaro narakayaiva kulabhyanam kulasyacha. He says narakayaiva, a hellish situation is created by the creation of children who have been produced or who are born without any spiritual samskars being performed. That causes a hellish situation everywhere. Now in this important verse, Lord Krishna is telling Arjuna that actually, if he does not fight, then he will be giving rise to Varna Sankara. He will be responsible for the generation of unwanted population. If you remember in the first chapter, Arjuna had given this as a reason for not fighting. He said, I don't want to fight because if I do, all the elders in the family will be killed, the protectors of dharma will be killed, dharma will be destroyed, the women will get polluted, and Varna Sankara will be produced. So Arjuna's reasoning was, if I do not fight, then Varna Sankara will not happen. If I fight, then Varna Sankara will be produced. But Krishna is saying the opposite. He says, Arjun, if you do not fight, then there will be unwanted population. Because you as a leader of society are not performing your prescribed duties. Everyone will follow in your footsteps. They will also start neglecting their prescribed duties according to their Varna. And moreover, because of you not being present in the battle, Adharma shall prevail. It will be the victory of Adharma over Dharma. And therefore Varna Sankara will increase. So rather, if you do not want Varna Sankara, then fight. So Lord Krishna, being the Supreme Lord, is very clever. So from every angle, from every point of view, he is cornering Arjun by his own arguments. He is reversing Arjuna's arguments, turning them back around to convince Arjuna that these are the reasons why he should fight. Srila Prabhupada explains many times that when there is unwanted population in society, many things happen. There are things like famine, pestilence, and war. In specific, he mentions these three. Famine means that there is no rain, there is no food. Aren't people complaining of this right now? Then there is pestilence, means epidemics of all kinds of diseases spreading everywhere. And war. We see all these three things happening now. Simply because unwanted population is all over the world who are not performing any yajna or any activities to satisfy Lord Vishnu. Therefore, there is such a hellish situation. Someone was just telling me of one conversation that he had had with somebody, and this person was on a TV station, and in America one TV interviewer was asking a religious person, you've all heard of the September 11 tragedy, isn't it? Those aeroplanes crashing into the World Trade Center. So this interviewer was asking this person, who was some religious personality, that why has God allowed this to happen? Such a catastrophe. So that person replied, although he's from a different religious faith, but it doesn't matter, the essential principles of all religious faiths are the same. He said, first of all, we have kicked out God from our schools. No more spiritual or religious education in our schools in the name of being secular. We have kicked out God from our government, although our dollar notes are saying in God we trust, but that has no meaning, it has no value, it is just a slogan. We have kicked God out of our government. We have kicked God out of our public life. We have kicked God out of our private life. We have kicked God out of every department of life. And then when something happens, we are saying, why God is not protecting us? We don't want God in every aspect of our life. But when we are in difficulty, we are the first to get bewildered. Why has God not protected? But have you at any time acted in such a way as to ensure His protection? Even to get an ordinary life insurance policy, you have to keep on paying premium. Isn't it? So any insurance policy that you need, you have to pay a price. Yoga kshemam vahamyaham. Lord Krishna says, I am the ultimate insurance agent. I will preserve what you have and carry what you lack. Don't worry about it. But then, you must become thoroughly devoted to me. Ananyas chintayantumam yejana paryupasate tesham nityabhyuktanam yogakshemam vahamyam. Then you must be ananyas chintayantumam. You must be thinking of me always with undivided attention. Then for my devotee, Lord Krishna says, aham tvam sarvapapebhyam mokshayishyami. Ma shucha, don't worry. Don't be afraid. I protect my devotee. Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhaktah pranashyati. That Arjuna, go and declare boldly to everyone that my devotee will never perish. So it's a very wise reply And that person went on to elaborate the condition of American society. And in India today, we are all trying to emulate that American society. They have reached where they are now, and we will also reach there shortly, if we don't take to this process of Bhagavad Gita very, very seriously. So why these things are happening? Because those who are Varna Sankara were produced, and they are occupying all the decision-making positions in the whole of society, and spreading all these atheistic philosophies everywhere. So this is the situation. This is what happens when there is Varna Sankara, when there is unwanted population. So if we do not want that, then we have to live a very godly life. And we have to follow the instructions of Lord Krishna as he gives here in the Bhagavad Gita. We have to all perform our prescribed duties, each according to his or her own ashram. So Lord Krishna says, therefore, in order to protect the purity of the society, the sanctity of dharma, I perform the prescribed duties just in order that ruination will not come upon the world. And we have discussed last Saturday also different examples of how the Supreme Lord, when he comes as Krishna or even as some other avatar, he usually all the codes of dharma very, very carefully, very meticulously. And briefly we touched upon one point last time, that sometimes, however, the Lord performs some activities which apparently bewilder people. He performs some activities which are against the codes of morality and against dharma. The common examples we discussed, one was his activities in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, and the second was the Ras Leela dance that Lord Krishna performed with the gopis in Vrindavan. So this is not something very surprising. We discussed last time that there are two reasons why Lord Krishna performs such activities which bewilder people. Although he generally performs activities which are in keeping with the codes of dharma, but sometimes deliberately he violates those codes himself. And we talked of two reasons why Lord Krishna does that. Do you remember what are those two reasons? Number one, very importantly, correct, to please his devotees. It is more important for Lord Krishna to see that his devotees are pleased than to see himself being criticized for violating the codes of dharma. Because Krishna loves his devotees more than his own reputation. We all love our own reputation very much, isn't it? Our good name, honor, reputation in society. We like it very much. No one likes to be criticized. No one likes to be humiliated in the society and be given a bad name. But Krishna says, I don't mind. If in the process of doing this, I give pleasure to my devotees, then that is more important for me. So Krishna says a very important point here. So therefore, that is the first reason. He fulfills the desires of his dearmost devotees, of his most advanced pure devotees, by performing activities like the Ras Leela. As we said last time, the Ras Leela is a purely spiritual activity. It has nothing to do with the mundane relationships of this world. And these gopis were in their previous lives great rishis and munis who got the chance to serve Lord Krishna in this particular mood, the Madhurya Ras or the Shringara Ras. What was the second reason why Lord Krishna does this? Anyone? He shows he is different from all. In what way is he different? To show his supremacy, that I am the Supreme Lord of all. Because when he comes into human society, then people sometimes get bewildered. They don't understand. Avajananti mam mudha manushim tanumashritam param bhavam ajananto mam bhutamaheshwaram. Lord Krishna says, avajananti mam mudha manushim tanumashritam. When I come into the human society, I appear as an ordinary human being. And therefore, those who are foolish, mudha, avajananti, they don't know me. They don't recognize me. But those who are my beloved devotees, they recognize me. So, in order to just give a message to the world, that all right, I'm coming as an ordinary human being, but don't think that I'm actually only an ordinary human being. I am directly God Himself. I am the Supreme Lord. Therefore, my activities are not to be compared to your activities. Actually, it is to demonstrate this that Lord Krishna sometimes performs all these extraordinary activities. He wants to show that He is supreme and we are not. One way to describe Lord Krishna is to call Him Asamurdhva. Sama means equal, Urdhva means superior to. So He is Asamurdhva, which means there is no one who is equal or superior to Him. So in order to demonstrate this Asamurdhva principle, to show that I am indeed the Supreme Lord, and all of you are not, addressing the human race and all living beings, He performs these activities. So we also discussed very briefly that if Lord Krishna performs activities or He speaks some words which are contrary to the scripture, then what should we accept? What should we follow? His words in what? Suppose Lord Krishna says, I will give you an example. In Govardhan Leela, when his father, Nanda Maharaj, was preparing to worship Indra with a nice big sacrifice, and many, many items had been collected for that worship, the whole village arrangements had been made. And at that time, Krishna came to the spot. Please remember, he was only 7 years old at that time. And at Rasa Leela time, he was only 8 years old. So he came there and said, Father, what are you doing? Please explain things to me. And Nanda Maharaj said, because you see, we are a community that is dependent on the cows and the land. So for us, the produce of the land is very important, because the cows nourish themselves on the grass and the crops, and the grass comes from rainfall, and rain is controlled by the demigod Indra. So we are all performing here this sacrifice to please Indra. So he will continue to bless us and shower us with plenty of rain. So then Krishna started presenting many, many different kinds of arguments to persuade his father to not worship Indra, but rather to use all the paraphernalia for Lord Krishna in the form of Govardhan, the mountain. And in the course of persuading his father, he gave many wrong philosophies. One philosophy that he gave is called the Karma Mimamsa philosophy. Does anyone know what is this Karma Mimamsa philosophy? We have discussed before in these classes. No. Karma Kanda is different from Karma Mimamsa. Karma Kanda means you perform an activity for some material benefit as prescribed in the Karma Kanda section of the Vedas. Karma Mimamsa philosophy is the philosophy that karma is supreme. There is nothing more higher than karma. You just perform karma and you will get the reaction. There is no need to believe in God, because karma itself is supreme. Even God cannot change karma. That is Karma Mimamsa philosophy. So Krishna started speaking this philosophy and several other philosophies. Ultimately, his goal was to convince Nanda Maharaj to somehow do what he wanted, to what Krishna wanted him to do. So he gave so many of these arguments. So now, should we accept Krishna's speaking Karma Mimamsa philosophy as the truth? Ultimately, it was Krishna speaking. So should we accept it as the truth, or we should not accept? Yes, But he's, the context is that he is trying to convince his father. He is speaking this philosophy. So should we accept or should we not accept? We should accept. Why not? Because what Lord Krishna is saying contradicts his own word in the scripture, where he himself says that he is a controller of karma, he is a creator of karma, he is a bestower of the fruits of karma. So how can he speak against his own position? So where Krishna in a particular context contradicts himself in the Shastra, then we have to accept the Shastra and not what Lord Krishna is saying in that connection. Another example, Buddha, he is an incarnation of the Lord. You all accept? But do you accept Buddhist philosophy? Do you accept? Why not? He is an incarnation of the Lord. We should accept it. So why don't we accept? Because Lord Krishna accepted that incarnation for a particular purpose. Just as Lord Krishna was speaking Karma Mimamsa philosophy for a particular purpose. So Buddha's aim was to stop unnecessary animal slaughter in the name of the Vedas. So he had to propound a philosophy that stopped animal slaughter and that rejected the Vedas. Any philosophy that rejects the Vedas is an atheistic philosophy. Buddhism is an atheistic religion. Jainism is also an atheistic religion. Both these religions are essentially atheistic religions. They don't believe in the existence of God. So here is God coming as an incarnation and saying there is no God. So should we accept? No, we should not accept. We understand what the Shastra says. Shastra says there is God and that Lord Krishna is God and that he appears in all these avatars for different purposes at different times. And he may say something that is different from what he has said earlier. We have to accept Shastra. So this is a very, very important point. So therefore, even if Krishna acts in a certain way sometimes that may appear to be against dharma, we should not follow him and say, yes, yes, this is correct for me also to follow. No, we should not do that. It is all right for him to do, but not for us to do. Because we are not God. This is a very important point. In the connection of Ras Leela, there is a very interesting conversation that took place between Parikshit Maharaj and Shukadev Goswami. As you know, the whole Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken by Shukadev Goswami to Parikshit Maharaj in response to the questions raised by Parikshit Maharaj. When Parikshit Maharaj heard the whole description of the Rasa Leela, where Krishna was dancing with so many gopis in the dead of night in an isolated place, and none of the husbands of these ladies knew that their wives were away from home, and he was dancing with them, and Parikshit Maharaj, being a great devotee of Mahabhagavat, he did not misunderstand. He understood absolutely that this was a purely spiritual affair going on. There is not a tinge of material contamination here. But Parikshit Maharaj could notice that there were many other people in that assembly also. Many sages, many saints were also there. In the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is described that as soon as word spread that Shukadev Goswami was going to be speaking the Srimad Bhagavatam, Parikshit Maharaj had left his kingdom and gone to the banks of the Ganges to hear and to fast unto death. Sages from all over the universe came there, each by their own particular mode of transport. Some came walking, those who were nearby. Those who were yogis may have come from under the water. And those who were in other planets like Maharlok, Janalok, Tapalok, they came by the Akashpath, by the yogic powers. Within no time, they were all there, gathered here. But not all of these sages were bhaktas. not all were devotees of Lord Hari. Many of them were sadhakas, they were spiritualists, but of different kinds. Some were yogis, some were gyanis, some were just plain renunciants, some were karmakandis. Different kinds of sages and munis had gathered there. Shukadev Goswami's task was very difficult. Parikshit Maharaj was asking the most basic and at the same time the most profound questions. And Shukadev Goswami had to lift not only Parikshit Maharaj, but the whole assembly to the highest point of Krishna prema, represented by the love of the gopis for Krishna. And he had to show that it is so pure, so advanced. So Parikshit Maharaj recognized that some of the sages who are sitting here misunderstanding this whole description of the Ras Leela as given by Shukadev Goswami. So therefore, he asked a question on their behalf, just in order to relieve the doubts of the coming generations in the future. Great learned kings like Parikshit and other great personalities, they ask all these very, very important questions for the benefit of the generations to come, because they know that unenlightened minds are going to have some doubts like this in their mind. He knew that some of the sadhus may have been thinking, as would many other people later on in history, that why Lord Krishna is performing such an immoral activity of dancing with other people's wives. So then he placed a question before Shukadev Goswami, and he said, "My dear Muni, the Supreme Lord Sri Hari, he has descended into this world to uphold the principles of dharma and to destroy those who are propagating adharma." And then he said a very important and nice shloka.
Sakatham dharma setunam vakta karta bhirakshita pratipam acharat brahman paradara bhimarshanam.
He uses the word dharma setunam. What is the word meaning of the word setu? Bridge. Dharma is a bridge that can help you cross over this ocean of material existence. Below the bridge is a turbulent water of material existence. But if you use this bridge, then you can cross over with minimum difficulty. So Parikshit Maharaj uses the very nice phrase, dharma setu naam. In ordinary terms, dharma setu naam means the codes of conduct, the prescribed duties, the do's and the don'ts mentioned in the scripture. He says, Varta Karta Abhirakshita. Lord Krishna is the speaker of this dharma. Varta, he is the Karta, he follows that dharma himself very scrupulously. Abhirakshita, he is the protector of that dharma also. Since he is a speaker, follower and protector of dharma, my question to you, Shukadev Goswami ji, is Sa katham pratipam acharat brahman. How is it pratipam acharet? How did he act contrary to dharma himself? Particularly when it comes to paradara abhimarshanam. Dara means wife, para means somebody else, abhimarshanam means to touch. So when Lord Krishna himself is a speaker, follower and protector of dharma, how is it that he himself violated this dharma by touching the wives of other people, which is considered to be not at all a moral thing to do? What purpose did the self-sufficient Lord Hari have to achieve by performing such contemptible activities? I wish to know, my dear Srila Shukadev Goswami. In this way, Parikshit Maharaj was addressing the doubts of many, many people that would come up later, and even at that time present in the assembly. So this is a very important question, very relevant today. There are many, many even Sanskrit scholars who are not devotees. They misunderstand. Whereas the common man many times criticizes Krishna for the Rasa Leela. So it is very important for us to understand this concept very clearly. So that the next time people tell you, when you tell them that you are a devotee of Krishna, and if they start telling you, oh Krishna, he did Ras Leela, he did this, then we should be able to answer in a very philosophical way. So what did Shukadev Goswami reply? Very nice reply.
Dharma vyatikramo drishta ishvaranam cha sahasam tejiyasam na doshaya vahne sarva bhujayatha.
He is describing that, my dear Parikshit Maharaj, consider the position of those who are ishvaranam. The word ishvara means controller. Now, all of us are controllers to a small or a greater degree. We have some control over some things, isn't it? Somebody may have control over some part of his life, over his business, his family and society and so on. Some are bigger controllers. We may have some ministers and kings. Then there are even more powerful controllers, like the demigods, who can control the movement of the sun, the moon, the rainfall, the wind and so on. So there are so many controllers in the whole of creation. But the supreme controller of all is Lord Krishna. Ishvarah Paramah Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govindah Sarvakarana Karanam.
Brahmaji explains in the Brahma Samhita, Ishvara Parama Krishna.
There are many, many Ishvaras or controllers all over the creation. But the Param Ishvara, the supreme controller, is Krishna. But nevertheless, any powerful personality is also called Ishvara in that context. So, Shukadev Goswami is saying to Parikshit Maharaj, please consider the position of those who are Ishvaranam. If it is seen, drishta, that dharma vyatikramo cha sahasam, vyatikram means to violate. If it is seen that some of these powerful personalities, these Ishwaras, like for example the demigods like Indra, Soma or Vishwakarma, Brahma and so on, if it is seen that such powerful personalities are very blatantly or audaciously performing dharma vyatikrama, violating the principles of dharma, because they are tejiyasanam. Tejiyasana means they are very spiritually potent. Because they are very powerful, na dosham, there is no fault. They are not touched by that breaking of the principle of dharma because of their spiritual potency. Just as vahane sarva bhujo yatha. Vahni means fire. When you pour something into the fire, what happens? When you pour some garbage into the fire, what happens? Does the fire become dirty because of that garbage? What happens to the garbage? The garbage becomes purified. The fire does not become impure. The fire is not touched by the impurity of the garbage. Rather, the fire purifies the impure thing that comes in contact with it. Or take the example of the sun. The sun, when it shines over a dirty place, it purifies that place by drying it up. But if you and I go to that dirty place, then we become impure. But the sun, through its sun rays, when it touches an impure place, the sun is not contaminated. The sun does not become impure. On the contrary, the sun purifies that impure substance or that place. In the same way, my dear King Parikshit, Shukadev Goswami explains, those who are Ishwaranam, who are very, very powerful controllers in this universe, because of their spiritual potency, even if they commit some particular violation of the principles of dharma, even blatantly, audaciously, sahasam, still na dosham, one cannot fault them, because they have the capacity. And then Shukadev Goswami goes on to describe again.
Naitat samachare jato manasapi hanishwarah vinashat vinashyatyacharan maudhyat yatha rudrobhijam visham.
He says, my dear King Parikshit, I have spoken to you of the condition of Ishwaranam, those who are controllers. Now, hear about the condition of those who are Anishwar, those who are not such controllers. What about them? Na etat sama acharet jatu. Sama acharet. Sama means equal. Acharet means to perform. Sama acharet means to imitate, therefore. To act in the same way as the Ishwaras are doing. If somebody is Anishwar, he is not a powerful controller. But at any time, Samacharet, he is trying to imitate the activities of those who are Ishwara. Then he is very foolish. Maudhyad. Acharat. If he does this, he is very foolish. Because what will happen to him? He will be destroyed. Vinashati. So if he artificially imitate the powerful controllers when we do not have that power like them, then we will be destroyed. It will be our ruin. And Shukadev Goswami gives an example, analogy. Whose example does he give? Yatha Rudro Abdhijam Visham. The example of Rudra, Lord Shiva. Abdhijam Visham. Abdhi means ocean. Jam means that which is produced from. Visham means poison. This episode refers to the Samudra Manthan, the churning of the milk ocean, when the Devas and the Asuras had gathered together. And they churned the Mandara mountain by using Vasuki as a rope. And the Lord performed, he accepted so many avatars at that time in this Leela. Can anyone mention some of the avatars the Lord assumed? Kurma avatar to serve as a base or a support for the mountain. Then, Dhanvantari. Dhanvantari is the Shaktavesh avatar responsible for the health. Uchaishrava is not avatar. Uchaishrava is the horse that came. Mohini avatar came later. Who else? No, not at that time. He took the incarnation of Ajit and he seated himself on top of the hill. So the Lord was below the hill and on top of the hill. On top of the hill, or rather on the bottom, he was there to stabilize it, to give it some base. Because otherwise the Mandar Parvat had fallen down and crushed so many Devas and Asuras. It was so heavy. So, when Lord Kurma, he accepted the Mandar mountain on his shoulders and the churning was going on, then he didn't find it heavy. Do you know what was the sensation that he experienced? As if someone is scratching him very nicely, giving some nice malish or massage and scratching him gently. So he was enjoying it. This malish going on to his back. So for the Lord, Mandar mountain was not very heavy. But then what happened? The base was very secure and it was being pulled this way and that way. So the mountain was wobbling like a top. You have seen children playing with a top? The top will wobble like this on its axis. So the mountain was wobbling on its axis. So it was becoming unsteady. So again the Asuras and Devas prayed, "Oh please, do something, O Lord." So then the Lord accepted the Ajit avatar and he sat on top of the mountain to stabilize it so it would not wobble. Then the churning went on perfectly. And at that time, the first thing that came out was halahal. Halahal was a deadly poison. And the deadly poison caused a panic amongst the Asuras and Devas. They all ran helter-skelter. And then they were advised, go to Lord Shambhu. And then all the poison into the palm of his hand. And then he sipped it and held it in his throat. And therefore he is called Nilakantha. His throat became blue. He did not let it go below. He is still today even held it in his throat. And the whole ocean of poison he has swallowed. And save the whole universe from devastation. Such is his power. Near one of our ISKCON temples in Bombay, in Chaupati, there is a very famous Shiva temple called Babulnath. And people come there to the Shiva temple from far and wide, especially in Shivaratri. And many, many sadhus come, even from the Himalayas, they come on the Shivaratri occasion to Babulnath. So several years ago, one time,
Because we saw so many people are here, thousands of people have come. So every year the devotees go out for Nagar Sankirtan. Because our temple is close by from there, so devotees go out chanting in the street. So one time we met, talked to some of these sadhus who were sitting there in the footpath, having made their footpath the home for a few days. And they were busy taking all kinds of intoxicants, like charas and ganja, whatever they were taking. And they had all those instruments, and they were all sitting around. And then one of our devotees went and talked to them. He said, "You are sadhus, you are supposed to live free from intoxication. So why are you doing this?" So one of the sadhus explained that "Hamare Bholanath bhi lete hain." They said, "Our Bholanath, Lord Shiva, also takes. So we are taking." Now whether Bholanath, Lord Shiva, actually takes or not is another question. But even if he is taking, the question is that the same Bholanath also can swallow a whole ocean of poison and hold it in his throat. Can you accept, the devotee asked that sadhu, even one drop of the poison and live? So if you can't do that, then you should not imitate. You should not imitate someone unless you have the same power as that person. You can't imitate the activities of that person. Suppose someone thinks, Bhima used to eat so much, so why should I not eat so much? So if he tries to imitate Bhima, what is going to happen? He will die. If you artificially try to imitate somebody who is much superior to you, then it will only be the cause of our destruction. So therefore Sukadeva Goswami says, "My dear Parikshit Maharaj, therefore if an Anishwar tries to imitate an Ishwara, Vinashyati, he will be definitely destroyed, just as a person who tries to imitate Lord Shiva by drinking the poison will also die." Similarly, there are many people who try to imitate Lord Krishna's Rasa Leela. For those of you who have gone to Vrindavan, there are certain class of people called Prakrita Sahajiyas. They are a group of people. Sahajiya means that they make the process of bhakti seem to be very cheap. They cheapen the whole process. They don't accept that some austerities must be performed in bhakti, that some rules and regulations must be followed, some decency, some codes of conduct must be followed. They don't accept. They directly want to jump to the highest spiritual platform and perform activities of the kind that Lord Krishna did with the gopis. So many times you may go to the ashrams of these Prakrita Sahajiyas and you will find the Baba, or who is the head of that ashram, he will say, "I am Krishna," and he will have many ladies around him and he will say, "These are the gopis." It is actually happening in Vrindavan. And many innocent people, they get cheated by such people. So therefore Prabhupada explains in this purport also that if someone wants to imitate Lord Krishna's Rasa Leela, he must first of all lift Govardhan Hill. Then he must do this. Because Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill when he was only 7 years old. He performed Rasa Leela when he was 8 years old. So first lift Govardhan Hill, and then lift, then you perform the Rasa Leela as you like. So that is not possible. So therefore, Sukadeva Goswami, one should not imitate the activities of great souls. Rather, one should simply follow the instructions of the Lord and his pure devotees. And in this, one will find the path of perfection. My dear King Parikshit, even great human beings, great sages, who are very pure, and they are not affected by sin, so how can Lord Krishna be affected by sin? Many great devotees, by following the path of devotion, come to the spiritual platform, and there is nothing that can be said in criticism of their behavior because they are totally pure. If that is so, how much more so for the Supreme Lord Himself? My dear King Parikshit, that when Lord Krishna performed the Rasa Leela with the gopis, he was also simultaneously present in the hearts of the gopis, and also the husbands of the gopis, and also the hearts of every living entity in the whole of creation. He is also present in every atom. So that same Lord Krishna who is present in the innermost, most secret chamber of the heart of every living being, goes to a secret place to have Ras Leela, there is nothing objectionable. He is the super soul in the heart of everyone. Lord Krishna is the Supreme Lord who is the origin of everything. Everything in this creation is his shakti, his energy. Even the gopis are his energy, his spiritual energy. This material world is his material energy. There is nothing that is independent of Krishna. There is nothing that is not Krishna's energy. So Krishna is expanding himself into unlimited forms to enjoy freely at will his spiritual and material energy. There is nothing objectionable in that. We cannot expand ourselves into unlimited forms. Neither are all these objects our energy. The Vaishnava Acharyas explain that Lord Krishna's dancing in the Ras Leela is like a small child playing with his reflection. Have you noticed sometimes a child may get bewildered looking in the mirror? He is trying to play with his own reflection or his own shadow. Similarly, Lord Krishna is playing with his own parts and parcels, his own energy, his own emanation. So there is nothing morally wrong there. And moreover, as I have said earlier, this relationship is totally on the spiritual platform. And even from worldly standards, it is to be noted that Lord Krishna was only 8 years old. You see so many children playing, boys and girls playing. Do you make it a big issue? Or they are acting in an immoral way? They are only small children. So Lord Krishna was only 8 years old, so why do all of you object? You should tell such people. And the gopis were also very young at that time. Very young. Although many of them were married. But in that time, marriages used to take place very early also. So Sukadev Goswami goes on to explain that the Ras Leela went on for one night of Brahma. And it was compressed into one night on this earth. One night of Brahma is 43 million years. And for so many years, the dance, it was compressed into one night. And the gopis did not realize, nobody realized, the time just flowed by. And by the mystic power, the yog maya of Krishna, all the family members, the husbands included, of these gopis, did not realize that their wives were missing from home. Because the maya expansion of the wife, so under bewildered under Krishna's maya shakti, they did not realize that the wives were not there. The acharyas explained that actually, the marriages that took place between the gopis and their husbands were the marriages of the maya gopis with the gopas. The illusory forms of these gopis, not the real gopis. The real spiritual gopis only remained with Krishna. Just like when Ravan kidnapped Sita, he did not kidnap the real Sita. He kidnapped Maya Sita. This is explained by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quoting from the scriptures like the Kurma Purana. Of course, there is a whole world of difference between the Gopas and Ravan. That is not to compare the two. The Gopas also are very pure devotees, eternal associates of the Lord. But the point is that to facilitate Lord Krishna's pastime, they also had to act in this particular way. They had to play their role in this whole drama as it unfolded to give pleasure to Krishna's devotees. And so the Ras Leela went on. And then Sukadeva Goswami concludes by saying, Anugrahaya bhaktanam manusam deham ashritah bhajate tadrishi krida yashritva tatparo bhavet. He goes on to explain, Anugrahaya bhaktanam. Anugraha means mercy. Just to give his mercy upon his devotees, manusam deham ashritah. When he descends and accepts a so-called human-like form and performs all these pastimes, then what does he do? He blesses his great devotees and bhajate tadrashi krida, he performs his wonderful pastimes. Yah shrutva tat paro bhavet. And when we hear of these pastimes, yah shrutva tat parah bhavet, we automatically become, develop love for him. We automatically develop dedication, bhakti for him. So the natural result of hearing these wonderful pastimes of Lord Krishna with his devotees is that one spontaneously develops bhakti or love for God, which is the ultimate perfection of our life. And then Sukadev Goswami concluded, therefore, my dear King Parikshit, one should not misunderstand these relationships and these pastimes performed by Lord Krishna. And the gopas, they continued playing their useful role in the pastimes of Krishna, so did the gopis. And after Krishna finished his pastimes, he wound up his activities and returned to the spiritual world. So the point to make here is that one should not imitate great personalities, and especially if he is the greatest personality of all, Lord Krishna himself, who is beyond compare, who is asamodha, and whose spiritual activities sometimes violate the so-called mode of a code of conduct for the purpose of giving pleasure to his devotees and for establishing very clearly his supremacy to show us that he is God and we are not. So we will stop here, because after this the subject changes. So if there is one question, we have time. Otherwise, we will have further questions after the darshan. Where is Naimisharanya? Does anybody know? Where is Naimisharanya? Huh? No, not in MP. UP. It is near Kanpur. It is near the present-day Kanpur. One day, maybe, you can go for yatra there. Any other question? All questions about the Ras Leela, if somebody asks you. It is actually such pastimes which are the most morally objectionable from the material point of view, that are the highest from the spiritual point of view. Because the material world is a perverted reflection of the spiritual world. So what is highest in the spiritual world is lowest in the material world. So the highest devotees only, those who are really pure, they only can understand this Ras Leela and appreciate it. Other people criticize and they do not understand. Therefore we find that even great sannyasis who have nothing to do with any form of dancing, they glorify and worship this Ras Leela. They study it, they talk about it, they hear about it. Why? Great stalwart sannyasis, what have they to do with these pastimes? Because it is the highest spiritual activity in the whole of creation, therefore they derive immense spiritual happiness by hearing and talking about this. But care is to be noted, with care it is to be noted that one must hear only in an authorized parampara, not from professional reciters of the Srimad Bhagavatam who exploit the Ras Leela for various other material purposes. So thank you very much. We will have the darshan now, and then after that there will be prasadam. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, 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 Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Radha Gokula Nanda Radha Gokula Nanda Radhe. Jaya Gaura Nitai, Gaura Nitai, Gaura Nitai, Jaya Gaura Nitai. Jaya Jagannatha, Jagannatha, Baladeva Jaya Subhadra. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada. Nitai Gaura Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Nitai Gaura Hari Bol.
Rupimanande.
The question is that we suffer or enjoy the results of our activities. So what happens in hell or heaven when we have to reap the results of our activities? Is that it? What are those actions which make us go to hell? What are those actions which take us to heaven? Is that it? Devotees have a very simple way out. They neither perform actions that take one to hell, nor they perform actions that take one to heaven. They only perform actions that take one to spiritual world, the kingdom of God, Vaikuntha. Pap or sin, sinful activities take us to hell. Punya, pious activities take us to heaven. Both are material activities on the material platform, pap and punya. So devotees have nothing to do with this. Devotees are interested only in spiritual activities. So pap karma takes you to hell, punya karma takes you to heaven. Any other question? You know, every Sunday we have our usual satsang starting from 12:30. 12:30 is Arati, and then Kirtan goes on till 1:15. Then there is lecture, again there is Kirtan. And after that there is prasadam, lunch prasadam for everyone. Then a smaller group of devotees sit, those who are more serious. We chant one bhajan. After that we chant one chapter of the Bhagavad Gita together.